Across rural America, plans for solar projects have been getting, well, some shade. Local solar projects are facing opposition sparked and stoked by a particular activist group that is spreading misleading information about solar energy. This group is being run by a longtime conservative operative. Michael Copley, a correspondent on NPR's Climate Desk, teamed up with Miranda Green of the news organization Floodlight to investigate this story. And he joins us now. Michael, hello.
Hey, Scott.
Can we start with an example of this campaign of misinformation you uncovered? You talked to a farmer in Virginia, not too far away from here, who had plans to use his farmland for a big solar project and is also going to help fund his retirement. What happened?
The plans were ultimately derailed. So the farmer's name is Roger Hauser. He raises cattle in the Shenandoah Valley. And a few years ago, a solar company approached him offering to lease the land, build a solar project that could power about 25,000 homes. A group of locals eventually sort of joined forces with this activist group that we have been tracking. And last year, they convinced the county to effectively ban big solar plants from being built there.
Mm-hmm. How did this group kind of thwart this project? Did they pass something statewide or through the county to sink it?
So what they're doing is they're focusing on counties. They're driving for county ordinances to limit or outright ban, as we saw in Page County, big projects on what they describe as farmland or timberland. Their goal seems to be broader than that.
And so as far as Roger Hauser, what situation does that leave him in?
From his perspective, this solar project would have allowed him to make more money, kept the land rural, and it would also allow agriculture to continue. One of the things he was really excited about was the opportunity to graze sheep around the solar panels. Here's how he sort of described the broader issues rural farming America is facing right now.
The average age of farmers is close to 60 now, and all this farmland is going to make some kind of transition when my generation retires. A lot of it's going to just turn up into house lots. And that's unfortunate because it never reverts back to farmland.
So, Michael, tell us more about this group that you found influencing these county decisions with misinformation. What do we know about the group, who supports them, and what they say?
The name of the group is Citizens for Responsible Solar. It was started in Culpeper, Virginia, not too far from Washington, D.C., by a woman named Susan Ralston. She was a special assistant to President George W. Bush. After she left the White House, she was a political consultant and fundraiser. And she started Citizens for Responsible Solar in 2019 to fight a project near her home. Hmm. You know, she told local government that big solar plants threaten rural communities and the environment. Almost immediately, she was working with activists in other counties and other states.
And as far as misinformation, what are they saying that does not comport with the evidence about solar?
One of the things she'll say, or her group's website says, is solar requires too much land for unreliable energy, sort of despite data showing that power grids can operate reliably on a lot of renewables. They say that solar projects wreck the land in rural communities and contribute to climate change, despite evidence to the contrary. Contribute to climate change. The data does not indicate or support her claims. And so when I talk to experts, what they say is the rhetoric points to a broader agenda. And just to sort of, as an aside, her group sent out an email to its distribution list talking about the failure of Silicon Valley Bank. And this is a bank that went under, that mm-hmm. had done a lot of business with companies working on climate change. And the way that her group framed it was the failure of Silicon Valley Bank showed how the renewable energy industry was sort of built on a house of cards, is the way that they described it. Mm. You know, there's been no indication so far that that bank's failure was related to their business with renewable energy companies. Lots of big banks have business there. And so it seems to be sort of one more indication of a broader agenda.
Mm-hmm. And what do we know about other conservative groups this Citizens for Responsible Solar is connected to?
Nailing down connections can be tricky here. What we do know is that when she was setting up the group, she got help from operatives who've worked behind the scenes with some of the most powerful people in conservative politics. So the treasurer of the group worked for GOP politicians like Mitch McConnell, Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance. The firm that handles official paperwork has worked for at least two dozen conservative groups. Some of them were headed by Leonard Leo, who helped remake the federal judiciary through his mm-hmm. work at the Federalist Society. We didn't verify whether those groups were connected to Citizens for Responsible Solar. I think that's worth noting. The last big thing to note, when Ralston was setting up her group, a consulting firm she owns got almost $300,000 from the foundation of a leading GOP donor named Paul Singer. Paul Singer is a big investor. His firm is a top shareholder in a major coal company.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that money was used for. Ralston wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Campaign finance laws make it very difficult to track the money here.
Okay. I see that you spoke to a rancher. Has she been involved in the politics of solar as well?
Yeah, so Susan Corbett lives in Page County, not far from Roger Hauser. She was in favor of solar development broadly in the county. She offered kind of an interesting window into how a campaign like this played out on the ground.
It was like, oh no, these horrible solar farms, you can see them from the Skyline Drive, and they're an eyesore, and they leak cadmium, and they destroy your water resources, and they pollute everything, and they bring down the land values. And it was just like every negative thing I'd ever heard. And it was like, whoa, where is that coming from, you know?
You know, Michael, as I listen to her, it seems to rhyme with the criticism of wind energy.
And that's exactly what we heard. This strategy seems to have been adapted from what we've seen the wind industry face. And in fact, we know Susan Ralston, when she was setting up the group, consulted with a longtime activist against wind development. So it is very much the playbook being reapplied here.
Mm-hmm. But as far as the rancher kind of on the ground, they don't know what's happening. They're just up against this rhetoric.
She didn't know what was happening. And I asked her what she said. I thought was telling and interesting.
I don't know where this is coming from, but it was a uniform. It was all the same. You could tell it was coming from one source because they all had the same song.
Well, Michael, speaking of the same song, is there any evidence that this group is operating a much broader lobbying effort across the country?
Yeah, so we know that they've worked with activists in at least a dozen states. One of the strategies seems to be building networks of activists. So she'll put activists in touch with other activists to kind of further spread the message.
You've reported on this for a long time, Michael. I've been in this space a little bit myself, and this is all coming as these various metrics for how cheap solar is becoming suggest a lot of new energy development for solar going into the electricity grid is one of the cheapest sources of energy now. I mean, that's kind of the reality of the marketplace, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. This year, government analysts are expecting record development. There's every reason to think that these land use fights, like we saw in Page County, like we've seen in a lot of other places, are going to keep playing out.
You know, when we're reporting these stories, and I know you do, you're always asking, well, who benefits? It would seem an alternative source of electricity like natural gas or perhaps nuclear would be the beneficiary of keeping solar down. But any evidence of that kind of industry influence you came across?
Not direct influence. I think what was interesting is within the past couple of years, Susan Ralston spoke at, I believe it was the Virginia Cattlemen's Association. One of the statements that she made at the time was, if solar advocates are really serious about cutting carbon emissions, the best solution for doing that is nuclear power. We haven't seen any money to indicate that that industry is supporting her, but that is the perspective that she has put out there.
Yeah. And Michael, you interviewed a lot of people. You spoke to experts who also say they're seeing patterns here in the terminology, in the rhetoric, in the vocabulary, like responsible solar. Tell us a little bit more about that.
As we talked about, it's the same playbook from the wind industry. They're using the same sort of online campaign tactics in terms of organizing groups, building a following, and then they're just using points that are a little bit different to apply to solar as opposed to wind. I called up Michael Berger, who runs the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University, to get his sense of things. And what he described was sort of this well-mobilized national campaign against solar.
For years, there has been this sense that this is not all coincidence, that local groups are popping up in different places, saying the same things, using the same online campaign materials, voicing the same misinformation.
When you tried to contact Citizens for Responsible Solar to get their response, did you get a response from them?
Susan Ralston sent us one substantive email, and what she said was, look, I'm not against solar. I'm just against solar on farmland and timberland. It belongs along highways and on rooftops. But again, the message that she's pointing out, when experts take a look at it, what they say is it points to a much broader goal of undermining public support for the industry generally.
So finally, where does this go from here, either on the side of these groups that appear to be local that are opposing these solar projects, or perhaps those on the other side trying to expose what they see as misinformation? Where does this go?
So what a lot of people say is solar companies need to do a better job communicating early to the communities they're trying to build in about what their plans are. They need to do projects well, plan them well, all of that. That's true. But when you talk to academics and analysts, what they say is that as soon as a project is announced publicly, misinformation starts getting pumped into these communities. And so it's not a matter of getting there early and being upfront, because the misinformation is going to be there. And so what that's doing is it's creating a lot of pressure on these local officials. you know, I do think it's important to understand there are legitimate concerns about big solar development. If projects are poorly planned and built, they can have negative effects on communities.
Mm-hmm.
But these local officials are also getting bombarded with bad information. I talked to a researcher who studies conservative efforts to kind of shape public policy and public opinion. And what she said is when you look at the constellation of people around Citizens for Responsible Solar, what that tells her is this is part of the playbook, at least in parts of the conservative movement, to attack solar. This has been adapted from attacks on the wind industry. And when you talk to people, there's every expectation that this same playbook is going to get applied to batteries and whatever new technology is coming down the road next.
Mm. Michael Copley is correspondent on NPR's Climate Desk. Michael, thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott.